The Gist. How timely Dr. De Silva's presentation on delineating clinical phenotypes and HPA access dysfunction in ME/CFS at the 2025 IACFS-ME conference was. We've just heard from a slew of studies that pointed arrows straight at the brain, and now we have an ME/CFS brain autopsy report. It's been almost 7 years to the day since Health Rising last reported on autopsy reports in ME/CFS, a theme of dorsal root ganglionitis, damage to the neurons that transmit sensory signals to the spinal cord, prevailed. Past brain autopsies have focused more on the brainstem, but this group, which specializes in the hypothalamus, started off at the HPA axis, which has been a focus of ME/CFS research almost from day one. Why? Because the HPA is the main stress response and energy regulation system in the body. The hypothalamus, located at the bottom of the brain, senses stress, blood sugar levels, inflammation, time of day, and more. It releases corticotropin-releasing hormone to the pituitary gland, which then produces cortisol, which has been called our body's stress and energy manager. Cortisol mobilizes energy by raising blood sugar levels and helps us use fat and protein upon waking and during stressful periods. It also helps us stay alert and focused and able to respond to threats or challenges, and is an important anti-inflammatory, helps to constrict blood vessels, and affects memory, attention, motivation, and mood. The Dutch group counted the neurons in the hypothalamus, did a gene expression analysis of the pituitary, and assessed cortisol levels. With the lower cortisol levels, they expected to see increased levels of neurons in the hypothalamus in order to up the production of CRH. It was all quite straightforward, they thought. Something completely different, though, was going on. Instead of more CRH-producing neurons, they found almost no CRH-producing neurons in the ME/CFS patients. That suggested that a general suppression of the hypothalamus had occurred. But the vasopressin and oxytocin neurons in the hypothalamus were either found at increased or normal levels. Only the CRH-producing neurons had been affected. A gene expression analysis found more evidence of HPA access trouble. The pituitary receptors that were designed to respond to numerous neuropeptides were downregulated. All in all, the HPA axis was the dramatic reduction of CRH-producing neurons in the hypothalamus. A shutdown of the pituitary and lower cortisol levels found appeared to be pretty much of a wreck in these autopsied patients. Note that this may represent a very severe end stage of ME/CFS. Only 7 autopsies were performed, and note that people with milder illnesses may have more functional CRH neurons left. De Silva did not speculate on the cause. In 2020, though, Angus McKay rather eerily conjectured, using a thought experiment, that the, quote, stress integrator, end quote, in the hypothalamus, called the paraventricular nucleus, or PVN, may be playing a key role in ME/CFS. The PVN, it turns out, is the main producer of CRH. McKay proposed that an inflamed PVN might overproduce CRH. While this study found low numbers of CRH-producing neurons, McKay's hyperactive PVN scenario could result in long-term damage and the eventual disappearance of those neurons. The situation seems all too familiar. It's yet another version of the wired and tired, burnt out but stuck in threat mode problem that seems to pervade these diseases. The recent, as of yet unpublished, norepinephrine finding featured in a recent blog might be related to this. Dense strands of noradrenergic, norepinephrine-producing fibers from the locus coeruleus reach straight into the PVN, where they trigger CRH production. Hyperactive norepinephrine neurons could trigger CRH neurons in the hypothalamus, causing them to burn out eventually in the most severe patients. These findings suggest why adding cortisol in the form of low-dose hydrocortisone might sometimes have negative effects. If core portions of the cortisol-producing system are broken, Interestingly, Cortine's CT38 hypothesis might fit. Cortine proposed using a brief pulse of a CRFR2 agonist to reset the HPA axis. The idea is that chronic activation of the CRFR2 receptors could suppress the HPA axis, thereby blunting cortisol production. Interestingly, a chronically activated CRF system could also contribute to the hyperactivity observed recently in the locus coeruleus. Interestingly, Cortine's CT38 drug, if proven effective, might help by resettling the HPA axis and taking pressure off the hypothalamus. The autopsy data, which may come from very severe patients, could also fit a picture where chronic neuroinflammation in limbic PVN brainstem areas slowly erodes core stress regulation regions there. In this scenario, the norepinephrine-producing neurons in the locus coeruleus, the CRH-producing neurons in the hypothalamus, and the adrenals are all hit. And the two major stress response systems, HPA axis, autonomic nervous system, are clobbered. Treatments to tamp down neuroinflammation, calm the immune system, and turn off the danger response might help. We should expect more from the Dutch effort and the NIH's RECOVER project already. Over 250 long COVID patients in its autopsy bank, and plans to include about 350. The possibilities for learning are immense. Thanks for listening.